You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me as always is the Heathers to my 16 candles, my dear friend Andy.
How's it going?
It's going good, Andy. Before we get into the show, our silent partner, Nate, is here making the sound happen. We all want to say thanks so much to everyone who came out for the 100th episode on January 30th at Kelly's. We had a great time and really appreciate y'all being out there. Hopefully you've listened to it and enjoyed that episode last week. This week, we're really excited to have in the garage with us the host of the late night show, Who's the Ross? At Dante's here in Portland every Tuesday night. Actor and comedian Aaron Ross is with us.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here, Aaron. How's it going?
Good, good. My pleasure. Thanks for having me in late. I just got done playing a basketball game and I'm going to try to eat an orange while we do this interview.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Finish up that orange. This is going to make for good podcasting.
Yes.
We can hear that peel nicely. There it is. Some real sound effects for us for a change.
This is real. This is how comedians, this is how we live.
So Aaron,
orange by orange.
There's a ton of stuff I want to ask you about.
Yes.
You've been doing this late night show here in Portland in various forms for over 600 episodes, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Our 626 episodes tomorrow night at Dante's. Every Tuesday at 10 p.m. we're at Dante's. I've been doing the show for eight plus years.
So how did it get started, the late night format? What was the appeal of that to you as an actor and a comedian?
The appeal to me was I think it was a genre that I grew up with that was the most influential. And the reason I like the genre of doing a late night talk show the most is because you can do the most with it. So, you know, as a stand-up comedian, you know, you go up and you perfect your jokes and you do those a lot and you have a mic and you do that. But as a late-night talk show host, you get a stand-up style monologue every single night.
Right.
But then you can go into your next bit, which for us is a lot of improv with the audience. And then following, you get to interview guests and then you kind of get the game show side of things where you get to play the Fallon-esque sort of games and then you get your musical guests that you get to have on. You can also do characters amongst the show, which I've done for years, which is sort of the more sketch comedy element. So it's pretty cool to get to use all of those different things. Mm-hmm. And then get to doing a new show every week. You know, we're always challenged to come up with something new. So within mixing in the guests and the different styles, it's actually, I kind of feel like it's easy because you can do so much with it.
Absolutely. So you mentioned being the most influenced by that format when you were younger. What are some of your formative experiences? Who were you watching when you were a kid that was inspiring you the most?
High school Conan, for sure.
Yeah.
And it was easy to find that relatable, you know, because he was the lanky, pale, you know, redhead guy, you know, liked being goofy and shifting around and doing those sort of things. That seemed to really fit. It seemed very relatable. Once I got older, I loved what Colbert was doing. I loved the character angle of it. I loved Sacha Baron Cohen with the Ali G show. I liked taking the show into the street and doing remote pieces like that. That really connected for me. And so, and even, you know, David Letterman was huge too. He probably was the first thing that I saw. Johnny Carson was there, but I mean, I was 10 when he, so I saw him and I knew that guy was great, but I really more knew Dana Carvey's impression of Johnny Carson.
Yeah. Letterman's bits were always so good too.
It was so good, and especially at that time. I mean, when he went to NBC, and even being an 11 or 12 year old, you'd sneak in and you go, "What is this guy doing? This guy's 40 or 50, and he's throwing watermelons off a roof, and there's some dog is jumping into a swimming pool. That's what I want to do."
Well, mm-hmm. And he was really transitional too, because there was Johnny Carson was almost like a template of himself. He was this platonic ideal of this.
Johnny Carson was
host.
Perfection of late night in personality and getting the most out of guests. Hitting your monologue jokes.
And just the ease of his way was pretty, it was just flawless.
It was this ease in 30 years. But Dave was the subversive side.
Right.
Dave was like his younger brother that was like, I'm going to get real weird to get your attention. And it worked. And that was really fun to watch.
And then Conan obviously took that in bizarre directions.
Felt like Letterman co-signed it and said, yeah, I like this real weird writer kid.
Right.
I don't know what he's going to do. But then Conan proved us he took the sketch comedy world of the absurd. Dave just took the personality of absurd. And he'd have bits with his staff and crew and, you know, the guy at the deli, and like I said, you know, he always liked breaking stuff, which always seemed good to me. He seemed like Beavis and Butthead's dad that was successful, or a successful uncle, which tended to be true because they actually did bits together. They actually mixed in the cartoon Beavis and Butthead with Letterman a few times. But Conan would just create these remarkably absurd character things and was so dedicated every night to giving you the weird things, just what just happened. I always found that really, really exciting. And it's always so fun when you're forced to pump that out five times a week. Right. What ends up happening? What ends up happening when you're forced to do it a lot? And you're like, well, oh, yeah, I'll take that insane idea that you just came up with, a FedEx Pope or a masturbating.
Well, and also, player. I mean, this is
probably, Oldie Olsen.
You could tell me if I have this right, but sometimes it's better to work within the constraints of something. So having a show format where you know there's certain marks you got to hit, certain beats along the way, having a guest that you've got to kind of work with or around. Sometimes that those little restrictions you place on yourself can open up a little more creative outlets for you. Do you find that to be the case?
Yeah, or? I like that a lot. I mean, I like that with the Late Night Talk Show. I like that we have to fill 5-10 off the top with something presentational and monologue-like. I like that the next thing we do on our show is always a contest with an audience member. I like to getting to improvise off, you know, an element, an unknown element. I like then having the interview, preparing your interview notes, having a game for that guest, something that kind of pops. Fallon has been a master at, you know, the celebrity moment. So it's like, all right, well, we got to do that too. Mm-hmm. So we had last week Snoop Dogg's uncles on the program. One of them has a barbecue joint called Rio's Ribs. And we play a game called Rapper Not Rapper with them. And it's just like a guarantee. You know, we give them 8 rapper names. They have to decide if it's a rapper or not a rapper. And those dudes think I'm the funniest guy on the planet. You know, I mean, and Snoop Dogg's like their nephew. So like, you know, he's hilarious in his own right.
Sure.
But like, I'll say anything. They had the shiniest suits on. And I was like, why didn't anyone tell me it was shiny suit day? I'd have brought my shiny suit. And they just start cracking up. They just, I don't know what it is. Something about looking in my eyes, those dudes think it is the bee's knees.
Well, that's another thing that I wanted to ask you about too, because we kind of like stumbled into this interviewing thing. I don't think any of us are in the show that consider ourselves like great interviewers or anything like that. We just try to make a conversation
really good at it.
But with you, like, and the same thing is true of all those people we were talking about. They all have this weird comedic sensibility, but they also have this presence to carry a show and to engage people in a certain way, which isn't easy because you got to deal with different personalities and celebrities. So how do you prepare the hosting portion? How do you treat your interviews going into the show, and what's your preparation like there?
Good question from a good interviewer.
Thank you for noticing.
I think research is the biggest thing. There's a lot of unfunny things that go into being funny. The more you know, the more you have to work off of.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you really want to research your guests, know a lot about them. The practice makes perfect. It all comes down to timing. You send it. You have this instinct where you kind of have your finger on the button of moving to the next question, of, you know, transitioning out of something that's not working. Always having a game on deck or something that can bring out their personality more. That's a guarantee in the joke department too. We have something written out. Once again, with Snoop's uncles, I could riff off those guys all day, but we still know that they're great singers, and so we have improvised R&B jams that we do with them, R&BBQ, because they have a barbecue joint, and they've done, we'll give them a title of a song, and they'll make up the song on the spot with my house band. So there's the talent, you know what elements you have to work with. We've got a great band, and they're phenomenal jazz funk players, so why not put the malleable, funny guest of Snoop's uncles in the position, like, you know, you give them like a singer, how about this title, you know, Wham Bam Thank You Yams, and they'll just, you know, go off and be like Wham Bam Thank You Yams, you know, like they'll just rip into it with the music playing, and that's very successful. So we know we have that logged in. We know we can kind of put that to the back, and as we've sort of filled our time and you get your guest slot, you got maybe your 10 minutes, you transition to that. It's a practice make perfect, and research and have something funny. Seems to work for us. Yeah.
So if you could think back to, let's say, around episode 200, and you've been doing this for, you know, 3 years at that point or something like that.
Oh, I'm sure it was brutal.
Well, what from that era just sticks out as a particularly bad experience with the guest? Do you remember
a bad guest? Like, I mean, look, we
not
had to
being
book...
able to work with them or at tanks in some way.
From 200, what do I remember from
just in that area where you're not brand new at this? So you got the practice under your belt, but you're still kind of in the middle of refining who you are as a performer and the format and everything. Is there anything?
I don't know.
I mean,
you can just get like yokel, local Yahoo. Like, you just get some guy. I mean, you know, look, when you're new, you have a few guests that you're like, oh, these are good, and we can start pulling in these guests with a bit of a name, whether it's an athlete or a musician. When you're doing it weekly, you take risks on something. It can be. I mean, just someone that got too drunk and is just, we had some soapbox derby guy that made no sense. He just got too drunk by the time he got on. And we all know, I mean, that person's not fun to hang out with.
Right.
That guy at the bar that's like kind of in your crew, but you don't really know him. And he's like,
and
let
he
me
shit-faced
tell right you in. About, you know, man. And you're like, oh, man. Whose friend is it? I got to get out of here.
We got a few guys like that in our crew.
Yeah. The difference is like you're trying to make it interesting. There's a bit of you that feels bad and that like he still took his time to sit around and wait for his interview at 11. And
well, he showed up too.
He showed up.
It's a Tuesday night.
And if he's not being a dick, I mean, we've had a few things go awry. I remember having some kid show host, and I do a children's show as well. And I thought, oh, this is really cool. He did it in L.A. and he was visiting. And then he was just like, he was so inappropriate in like all the wrong ways. And you're like, what is your problem? I think he was just on something and just, I don't know. And then afterwards, it's always the worst interview where the guy's like, hey, man, improv, huh? We did it. It's like, what are you talking about? I hate you. Kyle Gass, we had Kyle Gass at Tenacious D on around 200. And he was an atrocious interview.
Really?
Yeah, man. I like woke him up from a nap. Like he was playing in some side project that was after us. So we got to open because it was our normal Tuesday night. And he agreed to be on the show, you know, and I met him beforehand and whatnot. But like he took some nap before and then like got up to get on stage and he was just so cranky. And I remember him just ripping ass in the mic, which sounds funny in retrospect, but was just like, he's like, hey, man. I was like, oh, all right. And then like wouldn't answer questions. He was just like, you'd be like, so what about this thing? He'd be like, no.
Oh, that's the worst. Oof.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. And then afterwards, he was like, improv, huh? Welcome to Hollywood. And I was like, you were a dick. And he's like, come on, man, we did it. I was like, I hate you.
Did you?
It was like what Jack Black, the character Jack Black plays when he plays the Jack Black character, like in the Tenacious D sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was like that, but not funny. Oh, wow. You know, it wasn't like it challenged you back.
It was like the real life version of that person would be. They would
yeah,
be
without humor,
terrible
though.
To be around.
Yeah, it was like, this is not fun at all. I mean, at least Jack Black's like, you know, gets quasi-angry. He's like, Kyle! You know, it's like, it wasn't funny like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, this is a bummer. Yeah, and he can hear this too and know that. I'd tell him to his face today.
He's a big listener. He actually writes into the show, so I'm sure we'll
hear good.
From him on this.
Well, hopefully
a
we
very
can...
engaged listener, ironically.
Oh, wow.
Not a terrible interview, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Big supporter
really good,
of this show.
Really good at typing.
Yeah, and he's got some great song suggestions.
We've had good timing. I've able to message him enough, and it's like it's pretty back and forth, but on stage it just didn't click.
So what was your like plug into some of these bigger names? When did it get to a tipping point when you could attract a pretty well-known person to your show?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know how much we're doing that. I guess I'm being modest. I tend to think pretty highly of our show. But
you've had a pretty great lineup. You've had great musical acts on there. You've had a lot of... really successful and well-known people.
Yeah, I think you stick with it, and you know, you've got a good, so we have a good resume, so we've already had people on. So when you get a great guest and it succeeds, that tends to snowball. So that great guest will get other great people. You know, one of our favorites is Antonio Harvey's a Blazers radio announcer, and you know, if he likes it, he might tell a player and a player might come on if they like someone else, and that's happened before. You know, musicians has totally been that way. That's been the biggest part. You know, I can do the segue for you as we talk music. I think the biggest
education for us.
Progression for our show has been the musical guest. And the fact that what we do every single week is a musical guest comes in and it's usually the front person of a group, or like tomorrow is a hip hop artist, Rashid Jamal, who's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's incredible. This will be his third time on the program. And my band will back them. My band will, you know, the artist sends my band two songs. It's a keys, drums, and bass. They learn them. They're like studio dudes. I remember Jackson Boone called them jazz dads. And they just learn, like, they have the song to a T. Like, it sounds on the record, but live and kind of funky and jazzy. And then it's sound check. You know, they do each song once, and then we just jump and we go. Yeah. And that's such an exciting experience. And because they're so great, and I think we respect them a lot and are so interested. I mean, we love the music. So when they come on, I've listened to the records plenty of times. I'm singing alongside stage. I think the artist feels that respect. And once they've done that, they tell their friends, and then their friends want to come on. And when you're in a city like ours, where I firmly believe we have the best music scene in the world, then, you know, I mean, well, it's like kind of sky's the limit. Like, you know, we can book out months ahead of like awesome, awesome music guests. And I always say that in relation to the show and these guests that come on, it's like I get to create my own live playlist, you know, like as I look back at the past year or two, as we've consistently done it, like what an how all these awesome artists, Orange is getting in the way of my speaking, and I go and see them. I'll go see this weekend. I'll go see on Friday at Bunk Bar, I'll see and Cat Hawk, who've played the show. Yep. And then I'll go Sunday and see Kyle Kraft and Boone Howard and Laura Palmer's Death Parade at Mississippi. And they've all played the show. They're all amazing. And, like, that's exciting to get to work in that capacity with them. I mean, we were all music fans. That's really fun.
Sure. So coming from the comedy world, and that's your performance vehicle, but having musical guests on pretty consistently and being engaged with that scene, how connected are those scenes to you? How, like, what are the parallel tracks for entertainers in Portland? Do you feel like there's a lot of crossover there? Or
for comedy and music?
Comedy, acting, music, all those kinds of things. They seem to blend together here in different ways than they do in other cities. And
I think that the musicians all seem to play in each other's bands. That's the coolest thing.
Right.
Musicians are always, like, way cooler at one. There's, like, way less ego, especially with our musicians, and the desire to collaborate. You'll find, you know, someone who's in five different bands that are all awesome. And, you know, I think we bridge some of the gap with comedy and music. I don't know. I always feel like, though, that each group is sort of relatively separate, because, I mean, I don't know how you bridge them. It's like not that many artists that are doing each one of them, or, you know, I'm sure there's some actors that are in someone's music video, or, you know, some comedy music overlap, but I find that something we're exclusively doing pretty well, and I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's your musical background as far as just what you listen to? What's your jam?
Oh,
well,
gosh, you know, I product of the '90s, so it was like Nirvana was the first record I had.
You jump right into Nirvana? Huh?
Yeah, I had Nevermind, you know, and I had the Lithium single when I was 10.
Was this tape or CD that you bought?
CD single of Lithium, and it has Lithium, Been a Son, and Curmudgeon, which is a B-side, and I would listen to it constantly. And then I had Dr. Dre's The Chronic on cassette single. I would get to Tower Records and get singles. That was cool because you could afford them, you know? Like, you could have a dollar.
I love singles.
Was that?
Cassette singles were my jam.
They were a dollar. They were a dollar.
And the cardboard sleeve?
The cardboard sleeve, and I would get, like, and you could get that thing that, like, I don't necessarily want Rex and Effects album, but I want Rump Shaker.
I definitely want,
you know what I mean? I want Rump Shaker. I want Slam
that,
by Onyx.
I want the instrumental with that saxophone solo.
For sure, right? And in that, and that was the dopest thing, is you'd have the track would play on your Walkman, and you'd listen to the Chronic, or excuse me, I'd listen to Nothing But a G Thing, and then it would flip to the instrumental side, and you just get that instrumental. And then, like, you just sit in the, you know.
It's the 24 minutes of that.
Sit at grandma's house, listen to the most gangster shit as a 10-year-old white kid from Southwest Portland. But that was a kick, that kind of music. I mean, grunge and hip-hop was huge. Yeah.
Well, let's play some music. What did you bring? Okay. What's something that you brought to share with us this evening?
Well, my favorite band in town is And.
Oh, yeah, they're fantastic.
They are the absolute best. So they play Friday at Bunk Bar, February 5th. And my favorite song off their last record, The Failure, is Oh My Love Is Sweet. We'll be right back.
So we're kind of traveling back in time here, but it's Super Bowl weekend this weekend, so last weekend when you hear this.
Mm-hmm.
By now, you've all got a quesalupa in your hands by now, I'd hope. Taco Bell's dropping what they've been talking about since February of last year, which is basically the equivalent of a stuffed crust pizza in a taco.
What's it called? The quesalupa?
The quesalupa. They're going to put cheese, pepper jack cheese, inside of, what do they call it? The chalupa shell. And then other than that, it's just a normal taco. But they've been...
Oh, man, I love Taco Bell inventions. They're the best. I remember the double-decker was like... That was Shaq's, Shaquille O'Neal's whole thing.
I forgot about Shaq's.
Double-decker, and like, I mean, it's so
And what an innovation, you know?
And then with the Dorito Loco taco was huge.
Did you, were you a fan of those?
I mean, it, you know, the drunk asshole in me is a fan of those, yeah.
It tasted to me like it was, there's a Dorito, and they, for some reason, weren't allowed to use exactly Doritos, so someone had to chemically remanufacture.
It does feel like a knockoff.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a, you know...
It seems like they turned the taco shell into a Dorito as opposed to we can just use the ingredients of Dorito and make new shells.
Exactly.
Like, oh, we got all these shells. Just splash some Dorito on them.
Yeah, right. It's ground up Doritos sprayed out of a spray hose onto
not,
a pile of taco
good,
shells.
It's not as good as it should be.
No.
But it's still, I mean,
it's weird that
4 in the morning.
Those also brought in Absolutely. Taco Bell's cardboard sleeves. So that makes me think that thing can't handle sitting around for more than 5 minutes before it just disintegrates. Mm-hmm. So that's also going to be the case with the quesarito. It comes in a cardboard sleeve.
Quesalupa?
Yeah, the quesalupa. Sorry.
They makes me think of lupus whenever I hear that name. It's not very appetizing.
That was Conan's joke. He called it the quesalupus. This they dropped the news about this, that they were testing this product in Toledo, Ohio in February 2015. And now they've dropped the news that their Super Bowl spot is going to be the nationwide release of the quesalupa.
I feel like
I'm stoked on that.
I feel like market testing Taco Bell in Toledo, Ohio is the equivalent of us doing our live show in front of a room full of friends. It's a pretty soft barrier of entry.
That's an easy win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They didn't take that to Taco USA in California. Their test kitchen. Their highbrow test
kitchen. They always
do
them. They always do them in like Des Moines. They had the that's a Patton Oswalt joke about KFC had the mega leg. It was like the turkey-sized chicken leg, the mega leg. His whole thing about, can I curse? I can curse on the pot,
absolutely.
Right? You know, it's just like, throw this fucker over in Des Moines. They'll fucking love it. You know, it's like just all the insane. And they are. There's like so many things we have no idea about that they just, for some reason, Iowa. That and caucuses.
Well, Andy
which
and
is
I,
another delicious Taco Bell invention. They start serving up caucuses.
The caucuses.
Yeah. That's the meat that they serve up.
The caucus is kind of like a representative mix of all their meats that they
have.
Yeah,
it's just like a little excess, you know? Bernie.
Right. And it's restaurant specific. So like the highest amount of, like, let's say beef, for example, is the biggest seller at that one. It's mostly beef, but there's some chicken in there. There's some
there are things in
barbecue
there.
Or whatever
nice
shit they're
see,
cramming in there.
Speaking of caucus and Taco Bell, Grill Krispies. It would be rad to have a Jeb taco. I feel like he needs to go that angle as he's trying to make up ground. I would just like to see.
What would be
I'm making
in the
up
Jeb
ground
taco?
With my beef. It's a Jeb taco. Oh, no. They're not all winners.
Well, sometimes they are. I mean, if you're like a fourth tier Republican candidate, I'm sure that taco is going to
get
you a
shot.
Oh,
no, I was just speaking on the joke I made.
Do you have a fast food favorite spot? Is that something that's part of your... I mean, you're eating an orange
I'm
going to
say something
You're obviously a well-tuned athlete.
No. They're making fun of me because I just came from playing basketball, which I'm absolutely exhausted at the age of. No, I don't. The unfunny truth, I don't eat fast food anymore.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good.
Thanks a lot. It's not cool. Guess what I don't eat? I have good dietary habits. Like, shut up, dumb.
No, it's nice
eat
to get
your orange.
It's nice to get to a place as an adult where you can make
45 oranges a day.
Yeah. 40,
just
yeah,
all
I know.
Oranges. It's not healthy.
Well, actually, I was
you should get some fast food.
I shot a PlayStation commercial this morning. It's been kind of like a bizarre day. I had a 7:30 call time, and
what'd you do in the ad?
It's MLB The Show is the game.
Nice.
I've never played it, but I assume it's a baseball game. And it's like the idea for the shoot was the camera is our friend who's in the game. It's like, dude, you're in a video game. That's awesome, sort of thing. And I'm just like, whoa, dude.
So did the acting come before the comedy, or what was when you were, you know, making
some
creative
mix.
Choices?
I guess it's a mix because I, you know, I think my basically acting background is in improv and long form improv, which is more like a theater improv. So it's like kind of the perfect mix. That was really perfect spot to jump into, where you're kind of, you're trying to make people laugh, but you're playing characters and things like that.
Did you get into stand up at any point? Or
I did stand up for 2 years, from 21 to 22. I did, like, you know, whatever at the time was the local competition, which I don't think it exists anymore, and did you know, so. But I just didn't. I don't know. I didn't take as well to it because the same. You know, I go kind of fail there. And then I go do improv shows and kill. And I was like, well, I just want to keep doing that. And yeah. You know, when you're passionate about something, and people tell me all the time, like, if look, man, if you just went and did stand up, that'd be the thing that'd break you through. And not that that's, there's not some truth to that, but look, like, the stand ups that are in the town, they're great. I'm not at that. But I'm you know, a late night talk show host. There aren't a lot of those.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm great at that. So I guess I'd rather be, you know, it's like being a Marine in comedy. It's an army of one sort of thing.
Well, I also feel like with stand-up, you almost have to suck for a pretty good amount of time.
I didn't want to suck that long.
Exactly.
I didn't want to. And yeah. I mean, you know, anyone that's, I mean, look, I think it's an ebb and flow with, I remember doing great early shows where I think today that there's still jokes I would do in those for the late night style, you know, 8 years ago. And even sketch, there's sketch bits I wrote when I was 21 I still think are funny, and I'd look back. But, you know, there's so much, like, what, even that little amount of time I spent stand up, it's like, ooh, oh.
Yeah.
I mean, for a guy, it's like, you know, 21 year old, all your stand up's just like, so I'm shaking off. And it's like, oh, man, no one needs more of that.
And there's just so much shit that I can eat before I just kind of give up on something, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, not my faves. And God bless the person who does, because it requires such a next level dedication.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and that's like, just like anything, if you keep at it, you're going to, if you have some level of natural ability and you apply yourself.
Yeah, and I like getting in front of people, I can take the mic, I can take a room, but I'd rather do it brand new for 5-10 minutes in that spot of a late night talk show. Or what I really love doing is hosting. I like hosting events. I got to do Pickathon's kickoff party at Rev Hall, 700 people.
That's awesome.
And I had some things written. We did a lot of bits that were like the unveiling of their lineup. We did interactive with different things. Like, we had a t-shirt gun and we put 5 bands' names on t-shirts and shot them at people. And they put the shirt on and go, sick, this band is playing.
That's awesome.
That was cool. It was fun to do that. But there's a lot of improv through that that I enjoy more than, like, better get my tight 60 down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that more. I think it would be awesome to host like the Oscars or something like that. I think would be a really, really fun kick.
Yeah.
That monologue, that amount of stand-up, that's how much I want to do. And then mm-hmm. I want to riff through the rest of the night. That sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
How much?
Like a Benson interruption setup.
Yeah.
That would be really good for you.
Yeah. I would like that.
What's the prep time with like your writing team and all that kind of stuff for the weekly episode?
Show's Tuesday, Wednesday we take off, Thursday we come up with all the ideas, tighten them up, Friday rehearse a little bit, Sunday, Monday, and then do the show Tuesday, sort of is the breakdown.
I think it's labor intensive, but it's kind of codified.
And that's not, you know, concrete, but I think you want to get the ideas out Thursday for something that, I mean, that gives you 5 days. That means you can not have good ideas that day and come back to them the next day and say, we have 4 days, and God forbid you get to where you only have 3 days. And look, I mean, I could write the show the same day. But I mean, that's insane. It's just myself and I have a co-writer, Jordan Palladino,
okay.
Who's lovely and wonderful, and it's just him and I basically writing, and we can get together and I think come up with all the ideas in an hour or two, and then kind of back and forth online, you know, like we'll come up with the ideas for a monologue, I'll write it, and then I'll throw it at him, and then you know, is that good? Yeah, and then I start rehearsing. It's what's crazy is really the retention of the memorization at this point for something like a monologue where a
is
lot
it all
now.
Verbatim? Are you writing down pretty detailed?
Yeah, I mean, I write a full page. The idea with a monologue is you don't want to go past a page of type print, and then you just know that. I don't know why that works. It just works. That's the amount of time. If it's past that, I want to figure out what I can take out. And it's pretty close to verbatim. It's. But you never know what the audience is going to give you, especially at places like Dante. So, right. You know, I could come out and all of a sudden, you know, there's someone like basically leaning, you know, their chin on the front of the stage. And it's like, well, there's the direction. Let's go with that now. And then you kind of bounce back into the content. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I love it. I love getting to do monologues. It's a really fun experience, especially because I think we do – like cool conceptual ones. So like instead of tomorrow just coming out and just doing, like I said, just doing like stand-up style jokes, as it's our Groundhog Day special, I will do a sort of we've lived this episode before sort of thing. And so I'll do a Bill Murray moment of like, you know, this guy's going to drop his beer in 3, 2. Don't worry, fella. I got another one for you, you know. And of course, our writer Mikey's always choking on a goddamn hot dog at 10:32 and go give him the Heimlich. And then, you know, a baby falls from the ceiling and I save it. And then Mikey's choking on another hot dog. And then, you know, sort of things like that. Just fun. Sort of plays with a lot of different styles in an opening.
And keeps it interesting, too.
I mean, think so. For the audience, you know, new to the, as they come out, you know, a lot. It does. I think it keeps people on their toes. Like, what thing are they going to go with today? What style today? I think that's fun.
How, do you feel like you get a pretty good beat on your audience?
I think so.
Overall. So is there like a group, a kind of person that you think responds well to your show and you understand who that person is? Or does it really change week to week depending on your guest?
I think it changes week to week. I mean, I think there's really a, you know, probably 21 to 35 alcoholic. You know, it's Tuesday at 10 to midnight.
People who can stay out Tuesday from 10 to midnight. The chronically unemployable.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I always say that. I'll say that on Tuesday, you know, thanks for coming out, you know, and, you know, getting drunk with us on a Tuesday night. It's great to have the... You know, send me, you're tired, you're weak, you're hungry, you're unemployed, you're undateable. We'll take you, we'll give you entertainment for 2 hours on a Tuesday. I think we can play to anybody, though. I genuinely believe that. And I would tailor content to anybody, you know. So, you know, all the retirement homes in the metro area or daycares, count me in. I'll do it. And I have, to be honest, to a certain degree. You know, I've played parties where people are in their 60s and 70s, and I do a children's show a couple times a year for, you know, crowds of 500 to 1,000.
Oh, what's that called? Is that Yoohoo?
Yoohoo, yeah. That's right. I'm the mother host of Yoohoo, a children's show.
I'm very connected with the children's music scene in town. I've got kids, so I'm always checking out.
Have you come
music.
To Yoohoo?
I haven't made it to Yoohoo
what
yet.
What is wrong with you? I've been doing it for 6 years.
I know.
I'm a jerk.
Exactly.
Six,
6 years old.
And three.
Come on. We'll give
you
them
just
the
recently
time
played
the
Crystal Ballroom's birthday party.
Yeah, it was me.
That's amazing.
We would have given you and your children the time of their lives, which never happens at the same time. Never. Because if you're having fun, they hate you. If they're having fun, you hate it. Frozen.
Still haven't seen Frozen.
And I haven't either because I don't have kids. But I hear that it is just a constant, right? The Frozen soundtrack and Happy are playing 24 hours a day.
It went pretty hard for a summer. But then we perpetuated it. And we went and saw it in the park. It was a sing-along version
of
it.
Fun.
Twice.
Did you enjoy that, though? Like, no. Honestly, of course you did.
No, but I do also, you know, in those situations, I find something I can enjoy. And in this movie, she makes this giant ice snowman monster, and he's only in it for a short time. They call him Marshmallow, just offhandedly as an insult, so I guess that's his name. He's fucking awesome. I want him to have his whole series. I'm just thinking about all the cool adventures he
can
have.
Yeah, right, the Marshmallow spinoff.
They should do that.
Easy, you be rich as fuck.
Yeah,
write that.
Basically writes itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do it.
Mm-hmm. There's a golden book they came out with. See, I'm deep in the Frozen
world.
What's
a golden book?
You know these golden books? These are like the little kids' books that are like a couple of bucks. They have them like the big rack.
Oh, I think that there was. Those were around even when we were kids.
Yeah, those are from like the 30s. They still make them.
Can I ask you two random questions? If you could do anything, what would you do?
If I could do anything, are we talking strictly professionally? Is there or just
not
just
no,
so
like,
I could
hey,
do
you know,
anything?
Such and such from that movie. If you could really get in there, no, I don't know why that person's New York in my head, but from New York. I think I've done it like three times across this interview. Yeah. I saw the movie Brooklyn the other day. It got in my head. Professionally, like job wise,
I would do, and I think I've talked about this a little bit on the show before. I would do kind of a mixture of creative things. I would continue to do this. If there was a way we could really monetize this and do this consistently, I would love to keep talking to musicians and comedians every week and scale it up and connect. I have a publishing and writing background, so I would like to continue to write and be able to sustain myself off of that. I play in bands, and it would be great to just to have kind of a lot of different creative outlets that I could do and not do my other job.
Yeah, what's the other job?
I'm an editor, content director.
That's not
for
terrible.
A local company. It's not awful. No, yeah. I have no complaints.
I thought the name of the show was It's Hot Garbage, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was because you guys were garbage men. So
no, it's because we're fancy.
Oh, cool.
Well, we used to do characters too, and we were two music fan garbage men.
Oh.
And yeah, that lasted about.
It was
episodes.
Pretty much fan fiction of Men at Work.
Yeah. Nice.
That old movie with Emilio Estevez, and I forget who the other guy was.
Shit. In Men at Work?
Yeah.
I never saw.
I don't remember either.
It was
Charlie Sheen?
Yeah. It was Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez.
I know what I'm doing when I get home. Woo! Got a date with the Estevez brothers.
But you're kind of, I mean, it seems like you're doing exactly what you'd like to be doing. If you, is there anything else
Wait,
that you would
Andy,
do?
What's your thing before he compliments me? For Drew,
well, it'd be
inflates
kind of a
my
combo.
Ego.
It's like a combination of things. It'd be like a food critic.
Mm.
Like a weed judge.
Oh, naturally.
Comedian hitman.
Okay.
So it's like a quadruple.
I appreciate the hyphens and all that and the need to have to kill. What kind of people would you kill?
You know, just bad guys.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, you gotta kill bad guys.
I would be like a black ops guy.
Yeah.
I'd kill the super bad guys like Cobra and stuff.
All right.
That got a little like borderline.
Would you be like a sniper or would you be like a
Get your hands dirty?
Would it be very intimate?
Oh no, I would be one of those guys who could do it all.
Oh, okay,
you'd so be, you're not afraid to slip.
But I would be
a multi-tool
like
hitman,
kind of more of like a Liam Neeson type, where I do a lot more throat punching.
All right. Yeah. You know what's nice about a throat punch, and Chuck Norris told me this. This is a true story. It doesn't leave a bruise. Usually, you get him right in the throat, and it doesn't leave a bruise. Mm-hmm. He said that. Someone asked him. I was in Austin, Texas for a comedy festival, and he happened to be playing at the same time at the Alamo Draft House. And I was like, we have to. He was there, you know, Q&A on some crummy movie, and I was like, we have to see Chuck Norris. And this is like 06, so it's a little enough before it's like, hey, you know, Chuck Norris hilarious.
Right.
I mean, yeah, like he was still, but like, you know.
Post-Walker Texas Ranger, but pre-Chuck Norris. Kind
yeah,
of
pre, like, you know, yeah, like you'd get a bedazzled T-shirt of him sort of thing. And, yeah. and we
he had
saw
yet,
him.
Not yet had his moment, really.
Yeah. The comeback, you know, the irony, the ironic Norris. And so he did a Q&A, and someone asked him, like, you know, if someone was, like, talking on their cell phone during a Q&A with an awesome kung fu movie star, I think the person was alluding to someone near them, which I thought was pretty ballsy. He's like, how would you, what would you do? Would you roundhouse kick him to the, you know, face, or would you, you know, punch him or whatever? And he said, well, I wouldn't be violent, you know, I would reason with them. And they said, no, but like, what if they were really awful and they're talking really loud? And he's like, really loud? Then I would punch him in the throat because it doesn't leave a mark or some shit. I thought like that, and everyone like stood up and was like, yeah, he knows.
When it crushes their windpipe, I feel like the bruise is sort of, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound. Might as well leave a bruise at that point.
Well, just, you know, he doesn't want it coming back. So it's like, I don't know why this guy can't talk. You know, there's no mark there.
Yeah.
It wasn't Chuck Norris' fist.
Everyone knows if Chuck Norris punched a guy in his throat, his hand would come out the back of his neck.
There you go. Can I tell you my favorite Chuck Norris joke that Chuck Norris told?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, AKA, this was someone asked him. They said his favorite joke was, why is Chuck Norris not on Mount Rushmore?
Why?
The answer is because the granite couldn't handle his beard. And he said that to a full room, and I thought, that's the only one I have to ever remember.
See, there's a guy that kind of found a little sweet spot with his own life, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, pursuing kung fu is like a child's dream.
Yeah.
He became super famous with.
He did it.
Chuck Norris
is acted
karate,
and produced.
Strictly
and
karate. Right?
Oh, well, I mean, I guess I meant a martial art, put it that way.
Potato, karate, potato, I don't know.
I didn't
karate,
mean to disrespect any of the
kung fu
artists in our audience.
Yeah, whoa. We're not talking wushu here.
You don't make the, you know, our new black
karate.
Ops. Sniper mad.
I forgot that I was talking to an intimate killer. Of men,
yeah, man.
So.
He will intimately kill you. That's where the neck punch started.
This is your work. So I apologize to you, Andy.
It's okay.
But you want to play some music?
Yeah.
What do you got?
So I've been sleeping on this one for a little bit. I've had it, and I just haven't really spent much time with it. Adult Swim put out the soundtrack to the documentary Rebel Kings.
Mm, yeah.
And it's all Little Shalimar. He did all the beats and stuff, and then there'll be like there's a bunch of really good hip hop guests like Ghostface and Run the Jewels and just a bunch of people. But where it really shines is its instrumentals. And I didn't know this until tonight, but producer Nate turned me on to the fact that Little Shalimar does all those beats and plays every instrument and like makes everything happen.
That's crazy.
I had no idea.
We
so
played
check
some
out
Little Shalimar on the show too.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is some instrumentals off of that soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
What's this track called?
The song is called "Edge of the Edge." We'll be right back. really be a weed judge right now. The Oregonian did recently hire a weed columnist.
Willie, we had that too, and mm-hmm. I bet you that there's more than a dozen Americans that are professional weed judges.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So like for all the kids listening out there,
I like how a weed critic is a weed judge by definition. Just like it's not like you're a food critic, you're a weed judge. As if it's always a contest.
Yeah. No. Strains of weed. I just want to do that recreationally at like, you know, national summits.
Naturally,
you want to be called in.
Yeah.
You want to be a ringer.
I want to be part of Andy. Yeah. We have to find out what's the dankest.
Yeah.
That's the cover. And then you have to hit somebody. You're
pretty excited. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Pete, like, chilled out weed judge also doing hits.
Great
like,
cover.
Like, you just, like, take a toke. Like, you just smoke off that blunt. Just finish mm-hmm. it, flick it, and then just, like, two to the head on someone. And then you just go down there and stab him just for good measure. Because you said you'll get your hands dirty. High mm-hmm. as fuck.
You ever stabbed a guy? High as fuck.
I like to picture
you could
that
make the half-baked sequel. That's what this is.
That's true.
I like to picture there's like you're at some sort of weed festival and everyone is super high and you still have to kill somebody there. Like there would ever be a really
high title of this movie. I just came to my head. Sorry. Stone Ninja.
There you go.
Yeah.
You are the Stone Ninja.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, if you if you could be an
good transition off what he just said.
We'll take the hard right
take a hard right quick.
That was one thing we've gotten good at is we'll just gloss over the things that don't work really, really quickly. If you could be any kind of musician,
if I could be a musician, drums. I play with friends on the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm that's about where it'll stay. You know.
What do you do?
Do you play ska?
Play drums.
Oh, you play drums.
Yeah,
okay.
play drums, and I do not play ska. although, I mean, I wish for a lark. It'd be hilarious. But no, yeah, I play and just the stuff I grew up with and just try to kind of play those tunes. And we make our own stuff, and it's a kick. But it's more of a release. It's just like playing hoops. Like, it's so different than you know, being an actor or comedian. It's just nice. You can just think just about that one thing while still sort of being creative or physical. I really like that.
For sure. What's your favorite band right now? It doesn't have to be a Portland artist. Is there anyone who's in heavy rotation?
I mean, And is my absolute favorite band.
Yeah,
my absolute favorite band. And they're such great guys, and I know them all personally, and that's just such a kick. You know, anyone who's met Bim Ditson, the drummer who's running for mayor, runs the Riggs Ball Tournament, Red Bull Sound Select, just knows this guy's just like such an interesting, enigmatic character, and so wise at the age of 23 about everything. You know, their singer Nathan is just awesome and wise and multi talented. His guest spots on Who's the Ross have been some of my absolute favorite because he always comes on in character. So now that I'm not doing that as much, it's fun for it. He's like my Andy Kaufman. He comes on in these weird versions of himself. His name, but like totally out there. Either just some like just badass like stepdad or like just the guy that's just like high on acid or, you know, he was a LA transplant the last time on the show. So had a man bun and was talking about his Tinder dates. That's a kick. They're my absolute favorite. I've seen them live probably a dozen times last year. I find their music now to be like a religious experience. And there's a first three rows of people that are all in other awesome bands that I think feel exactly the same. You ever see Mike Finn of the Domestics at an show? He knows every word and he's dead center, bouncing, having a great time. I think they're really the best. It's exciting. How exciting is it when you actually get to not only see them because they're local, but they're friends of yours? Like, that's such a trip.
Yeah, and I feel like, again, you know, Ian and I are both Portland transplants, so we came from the Midwest, but you were born and raised here.
Yeah.
And there just really is something unique. I don't know if you've been around the country, so you've seen that there's something different about Portland, but that is something I noticed and still luckily don't take for granted. It's just a unique creative
Yeah, I mean, now
atmosphere.
Is the time, man. If you live in the city and you're not going to $5 shows, you're doing a serious disservice to yourself and the music. It's just so easy. There's constantly great shows, and they're constantly inexpensive, and lineups can be three bands deep and be next level. And I'm only scratching the surface. I'm not an expert to it. I'm stoked that for Who's the Ross, we pull in guests, and I get to learn about some new stuff through that. But there's so much great to see. And I think it's really, in a lot of ways, with this scene the last couple of years, I think the last couple of years has done something really awesome where these bands have a lot of talent and are really collaborative and prolific and putting out a lot of stuff and playing a lot. And there's just like a real great kinship to it that I think is really phenomenal. And I hope to discover more and check out more great hip hop, which, you know, that scene's really coming up in the city.
Absolutely.
Which is really exciting, you know, because that was what I listened to the most as a kid. And now to hear it coming out of here and being really great. We have Mike Capes is coming on soon, and I've
Mike
just
Capes
got hip to him.
We sing Mike Bogan's praises on this show all the time.
Dope. Tell him to hit me back.
We're trying to get him.
I know the process, you guys. It's not easy.
But we love his stuff. You're talking about Rashid Jamal. His album came out last year. It's fantastic.
He's premiering in it. You know, I know this will be after the show we have tomorrow, but he's premiering a new song tomorrow on the show.
That's great.
Which is the dopest shit, because, you know, the band will be playing it with him, and like, I can't wait.
With your live experience
with my like with totally my band playing version. his song that he's never done live, like, and what a cool leap of faith for an artist to do that with us.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And I've seen your show when you were doing it as Ed Foreman, and that was, I think it's the same house band, right? That was
it's
like,
the same house band, and they're next level, but they're next
they
next
were
level
fantastic
now. Come down, we will show you something you've never seen before, and you'll leave and go, oh, it's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I mean, you can give me that backhanded compliment to my face.
I will. I'd be happy to.
Not you. Yeah. You've been there before, but other people.
I've already given you that.
We really, I think, are really killing it, man. I'm really proud of what we're doing, and I really hope people can come see it, and I'm confident every night will be an amazing show where we can mix together comedy, music, interviews, and it's really tight. You get a lot, and, you know, do yourself a service. You know, don't watch something on Netflix. You know, that Tuesday, come see us. We'll give you something you'll really talk about, and you'll tell your friends like, I can't explain it, but it was so dope. Like, for a limited time, we're gonna give you people something really incredible that I think they dig already. People dig that format. Just you know, take that leap of faith in us, just like
that's
you would in music.
Just getting people to take that first step into something that they're not necessarily as comfortable with or is new to them. That's
it's a tough sell. Like, to say, hey, come see a late night talk show.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, this isn't gonna be good. You're wrong, Jack.
But it is good.
But it is. I mean, you know, first of all, you know, we don't do 626 without having something click right.
Yeah.
I think that experience has got us to a really awesome point now. But two, like, I'm as proud of hitting a great monologue as I am of the musical guest kicking ass with my band.
Mm-hmm.
Any part of it that hits, I'm proud of.
Well, do you have some more music you'd like to play with
us? I do. We mentioned Rashid Jamal. We got to play Rashid Jamal.
Awesome.
Got to play Rashid Jamal. This track he's done on the program, I think, a couple times. You can see it at youtube.com/Who's the Ross. This is Rashid Jamal, Simply Beautiful.
Recognize the forces, I force your forces to forfeit the lonely corpse of an orphan. The heat is enormous. Yeah. Right. My beautiful, ugly ass motherfucker. I made this beat, by the way. What if the negative was heaven sent? But while the pain, you can't help to ignore the evidence. I love my problems with heavy demons, I'm wrestling. Rocking my UV in the perfect picture of excellence. Circling nervous wreck while I'm wrecking records for recognition. Recognize the stresses I stress. Rev up and rev the engine. Recognize I'm blessed. Oh yes, wrecking get recognition. Realize the lies in my eyes, the real get recognition. This is my opinion, set them, do I speak for mankind? Modern fucker, modern fuck targets, I'm laying landmines. Can't I chase a fucking game, don't need to stand by. Finger fuck the trigger till you bleed and need a tampon. Pussy niggas losing, keep it moving, get a damn job. Catch a nigga grooving in a koofy, understand why. Flocks of pretty groupies acting goofy with their hands high. Life is an illusion, so get used to seeing man die. Yep, I seen a man cry right before that man died. That man I call my daddy, that's the reason that I can't now. I don't give a fuck about what you thought, no, I can't. Can't stop pouring out my soul into a bowl that's ghetto gumbo. Take it to the rack and get it back. I play Mutombo. Retarded on my album. I'm the same in life. I'm humble. To that finish line with this baton and I won't fumble. Strongest cast, Maya with cast iron. I don't want to be here if I don't got her. And I don't want a female if she ain't proper. And homie, I'ma leave here with a whole lot of them dollars. I'm supplying my business as a rider. And I don't want to be here if I don't got her. And I don't want a female if she ain't proper. And homie, I'ma leave here with a whole lot of them dollars. I'm supplying my business as a rider. Check. Fuck a hook.
I'ma keep it flowing, continuous. Niggas will praise and then reflect. Compromising your internet, pay your loans, so you still in that. Reason I don't believe in that. See what I believe when I sleep inside of that sleeping bag. Jeopardize your weakness, I'm meek, but still I will sleep your ass. Dump your style and delete the trash. Eulogize and defeat the grass. Pleasing the people in the hopes that people see you. I walk with the strength of Moses and Jesus peep from a steeple. Y'all should walk the path of immaculate man. Wave fire against his body, taught the people his craft. Follow my breath and keep the faith, I walk a narrow path. Spiritual, the sages on the stage, I rock with hella swag. Lord, keep these demons beneath us. I bleed on the deepest beats until I lead through your speakers. No rest, so if you rest, then you'll be resting in pieces. Your movement, I got no legs, that's a paraplegic, believe me. Species of Caesar, unborn, a beast is a fetus, as I go. But by remote, I'm born to a genius. Clean up my speech as I reach a creature for peace. Disturb your free while in your sheets, she moan and sweat and dream of me. Higher rising, call the yeast for the streets. Make it happen, escape the talk, boy, I've been creeping for weeks. Mama made a talking head, I'm bringing organs and a bag of bones. Daddy gave me swagger, yet I'm surrounded by rapid clones. I don't wanna be here if I don't got her. And I don't wanna feed Mill if she ain't proper. And homie, I'ma leave here with a whole lot of them dollars. I'ma supply my business as a rider. And I don't wanna be here if I don't got her. And I don't wanna feed Mill if she ain't proper. And homie, I'ma leave here with a whole lot of them dollars. I'ma supply my business as a rider. If you ain't got no love, then why you worry about him? Couple years back, it was cool, nobody heard about him. Now the streets is buzzing, now you bugging about the word about him. He don't even notice, he just focus, close the curtains, partner. I try to keep it simple, but my third eye cries. Cataracts on your plasma, niggas third eye blind. Cadillacs holds a fashion, what I learned from the spot. I bet my words will change the world before you heard I died, bitch. I gotta leap from poverty to sovereignty. A combination sacred as some petals in geometry. Novelty is non-belief and common as hypocrisy. Popping with the population, I'ma be all I could be. Who would've thought the world could be so cold? While you stressing about these bitches, nigga, feed your soul. They're stressing my complexions till I reach for the throne. And these haters seem like Pharisees that reaching for stones, man. This is therapy, I reach from the soul. Used to reach for new pussy, drove a silver patron. My solution for the drama, simply leave me alone. Miserable, but fuck your company, I'm deep in the zone. Solomon, a solar man with solar power. Has some flowers and a flock of concubines that he showers every hour. Reap the crop I sow and give a shout out to them cowards. Tell them Babylon is falling in this day, the world is ours. And this is King David, fit to slay a new Goliath. Morpheus forced to form a normal orphan to a fighter. Inspire his lame empire, inspired in order riot. Marching the king attire, new Goliath, burning pious. Blessed to be sincere, persevere when niggas gave up. Holler and fuck the world for everything you never gave us. Knowing I love that girl, the universe is mother, sister. No longer sleeping on life, I pray to God she hug and kiss us. I don't wanna be here if I don't got her. And I don't want a female if she ain't proper. And homie, I'ma leave here with a whole lot of them dollars. I'ma supply my business as a rider. And I don't wanna be here if I don't got her. And I don't want a female if she ain't proper. And homie, I'ma leave here with a whole lot of them dollars. I'ma supply my business as a rider. Now I don't wanna be here if I don't got her. And I don't want a female if she ain't proper. And homie, I'ma leave here with a whole lot of them dollars. I'ma supply my business as a rider. Now I don't wanna be here if I don't got her. And I don't want a female if she ain't proper. And homie, I'ma leave here with a whole lot of them dollars. I'ma supply my business as a rider. Recognize the forces, I force your forces to forfeit the lonely corpse of an orphan. The heat is enormous, nigga. Come on.
I always had this idea for maybe a book or a magazine article that I would call No Call, No Show, where I would get a series of fast food jobs that I would work for 1 week, and then on a critical weekend shift I would simply just stop showing up, and just kind of charting what it's like to work in different fast food environments with, you know, I always thought that would be a really interesting
idea. That show be set from your perspective or from the places that you'd no-call, no-showed and how they deal with it? Well, that would be a cool
I'd have to have like a plant on the inside to see the repercussions of me not showing up.
Oh man,
this all came about because I would go, like when I was like 22 and there was like a rough Sunday morning and I would go to a Jack in the Box or something, I would think about how rough it was for those teens and other people of my age to be showing up there at that ungodly.
Oh, I remember, you know, working at Applebee's at 21 and the shifts that you'd have to come in and like open for lunch at 10, you know, and you just look like a wreck from the night before.
Well, yeah, and I just imagine that those places lose so many fringe workers that just
constantly
that just disappear. And
yeah,
never come
like
back.
That no call. Yeah, they just know they're like, nope, partied hard last night, and I don't want to flip
burgers. And you can see it on the face of the poor teenage girl who had enough responsibility to come in.
Yeah, she's the one who went, oh, fuck it, I'll come in.
I will yeah. work my shift today.
I get Travis isn't here, but I'll...
Even though three of my coworkers are not going to show up.
It's brutal. Yeah, she's at Jack in the Box right now.
Yeah.
We could go find her. She's there. Poor gal. Poor Tiffany.
Ultimately, I decided I couldn't do it.
I've wanted to. I always wanted to go back to every job I've done in my life and do them all once a month or something like that. So go back to the Spaghetti Factory and bus tables. With just the absolute attitude of fuck it. And it would be so fun. I got a great talent for the busing at that Spaghetti Factory. But I got a great amount of fuck it at this point. I think it would be a total blast. People have like a real, they have a real great time with me.
I was in a meeting today at my office, and it was like seven of us in this conference room around a table. And I was just bored to tears. I was barely hanging on to consciousness. It was a meeting I wasn't really a central part of. And I was looking around the table, and I was like, man, every one of us is going to die in this room. I've never had a thought like that.
Oh my
and
God. It just, that's when you quit, by the way.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It crystallized the pointlessness of
oh
what
no,
I was doing
yeah, it really.
In a way that has never happened before.
We'll start a Fight Club out back. I think you're prime
it's
for
time
it.
Time to be alive. That is a sign. Yeah. That's a red flag.
So when you guys are like just driving on the highway, do you ever just want to like tap the front of your car against the guardrail just to see how it feels?
I've never had anything like that, but only because I have been in road situations where I have spun out of control and hit the guardrail unbidden.
It's fair.
And it was terrifying.
Yeah, it's really terrifying. I would love to play a game with you guys for my show if you're all right with it.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
So we do a game called Rapper Not Rapper on the program. We have hip-hop artists on. The game's really simple. I present to you eight different rapper names. You have to tell me if they're a rapper or not a rapper.
All right.
Real or made up. So here we go.
I'm game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Drew and Andy, here we go. Rapper, not rapper. Number one, Dan the Janitor. Rapper, not rapper.
I'm going to go not rapper.
I'm going to go rapper on that one.
You got it right. Drew, that is definitely not a rapper. Not a rapper there. All right, here we go.
Not
rapper,
yet.
Not rapper. Number two, Duke Algebra. Rapper.
Oh, man. I want this to be a rapper. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to go rapper.
Yeah, that does sound like a good rap name.
Good call, gentlemen. That is correct. Out of Indianapolis, Duke Algebra.
That's my hometown. Is he really from Indianapolis?
He's a rapper. I don't have any research past that. My co-writer presented that one to me.
I'll have to look him up next time I'm in Indy.
We go rapper, not rapper. Lil Bit. Rapper.
Ooh.
Not rapper.
Rapper.
Not rapper.
He is indeed a rapper. Well, Drew with a perfect
Drew
score so
killing
far.
It here.
All right, best score of all time was 6 out of 8 from artists. My co-writer got a 7 out of 8 on his birthday, but 6 out of 8 is actually the best for artists.
What do I got now? 4?
You have 3 out of 3.
Oh, 3 out of 3. Okay.
Kind of killing the game here. All right, here we go. Rapping out, rapping.
Got a long way to go. I got to get through.
Number 4, Sir Shit.
Not
rapper,
a rapper.
Rapper, not rapper.
Oh, man. I'm overthinking of not rapper.
That is correct. Well done, gentlemen. All right. Wow, Drew. I'll say I was on the Hot Garbage podcast, and Drew absolutely annihilated rapper. 4 out of 4 is an incredible start. Here we go. Rapper, not rapper, Easy Irving. Rapper, not...
That's a rapper.
Rapper.
Yeah, that is a rapper.
That is correct. That is a rapper. Easy Irving is a part of Two Live Jews. Who had the single "Oi"?
Also
Oi,
a thing.
It's so humid. So
where'd you come across that?
Man, deep dives, man. We've done a lot of these games. We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. All right, here we go. Rapper, not rapper. Hawaiian much?
Oh man, that is terrific. It's not a rapper. I'm gonna go with not a rapper, but it should be.
Oh man, I'm gonna go with the rapper because I want it to be one.
It is not a rapper. Wow, Drew has already tied Drew is 6 out of 6.
This is incredible.
Here, this is incredible. Andy has 3 at this point.
I missed my calling.
All right, this is impressive. I'll do my best to throw you off here. Here we go. Rapper, not rapper.
Hawaiian much is really good.
Here we go. The Dentist. Rapper.
That's a rapper.
Rapper.
That's definitely a rapper. That's
it is not a rapper. I'm sorry, Drew. You were right in the pocket. I know how to ebb and flow. I know how to bob and weave on this. All right. Well, you can still go to
I
tie the
best 7 out of 8.
Non-rapper score of all time. Rapper, not rapper. Goon des Garçons. Rapper,
this is the tough one. This is
rapper.
The toughest one of them all.
That one's real. That's a rapper.
Goon des Garçons.
Goon des Garçons.
I'm saying, no, not rapper.
It is a rapper. I'm sorry.
It was
sorry.
Too specific.
Fuck!
It was incredibly specific.
Candy part coming at the end. It is too specific, and I feel bad, but we're doing it for Rashid Jamal tomorrow, and it is a rapper out of Little Rock, so he felt compelled to throw that in there.
Oh,
rappers
excellent.
We did not use that were real on this one, Cheddar Da Connect, Bandit Gang Marco, and Snooty Wild.
Well, that's pretty good. Snooty Wild.
Fake rappers I did not use.
I've heard Snooty Wild.
Were Wet Monster, Snorgasm, Ejaculate, Brokio Drift, Lazy Eye, Pink Eye, and Tapeworm, which are all very funny. It's just about peppering them in at the right times. Oh, but yeah. I managed to throw you off there, Drew.
Yeah, you fucked with me at the end.
Six to start, but tied. Tied for the best.
Tied for the best
rapper score, but the best ever is my co-writer got. 7 out of 8, which is amazing because he tends to write most of these. So the fact that we threw him off, I think it was
even
like
once, yeah.
It was it was Dookie the Wordsayer threw him off. He was like a rapper. It was like, no, son. And I think that one we had the grocery store whore, and he loved that, but he knew that one wasn't real. But he was like, that's one of the best. It was one of mine because he usually by bulk I think does like 80% of these. He's a rapper.
How many get filtered out? So he brings you. Does he bring you just a?
I mean, if it was just him. So on that one, I actually wrote, I think, 3 out of 8 of those. But on if he does a list, I mean, he could probably give me 12 to 16 and pare it down. It's not like a super volume. He's pretty good at it.
Yeah,
he could honestly. He's locked in. The key addition from my end is the pacing and where to put them in. Because on that one, the thing that was tough was I didn't set them.
This is really interesting because I've got a list of my personal rap names.
Oh.
If you'd like to hear some of my bad made-up rap names.
Oh, well, I might have to write some of these down. So
yeah, feel free.
Put it next to Tapeworm, Pink
Eye, I didn't know you had
the Dentist.
Oh, yeah. This has just been in my back pocket forever. I just think about this all the time. Let's see here. Oh, Papa New Guinea.
Well, that's a great one.
Mr. Belvedere.
Oh, that's a great one.
Haunted House, which is usually just what I go by. Snuffle Up in Them Guts.
Oh, yes.
The Dirty Bathroom.
Oh, yeah. We had...
Ill Repair.
Repair, that's pretty good.
Proportionate Papa. I was in a Papa tear, I guess. The Serviceable Father. The Fourth Meal.
Serviceable Father, I'm writing down. Duh, Fourth Meal. I mean, if you throw a duh, so I had the Dentist and Dan, uh-huh. The janitor. Like, yeah. What does that mean? But you kind of believe it.
The French Onion.
What was the one you said before that?
The Fourth Meal.
What was the one before that? I'm writing these
serviceable
down.
Father.
Oh, serviceable father. I might use that tomorrow.
Negligent father.
I'll use serviceable father tomorrow and I'll just show you. I swear to you.
The candied yam.
The candied yam. All right.
Mm-hmm. And the gross one.
The gross one's almost too real, which would make it nice in the contest.
Yeah.
I'm going to send serviceable father to my co-writer and see what he says.
That's quite a list.
Serviceable father.
Oh, AKA the 6-inch foot long.
Just AKA the 6-inch foot long, no first name. Yeah. Just
that's how that list.
I mean, the name
out.
Medium Penis would be like a great rapper name. I think.
Proportional.
What
penis.
Up, Medium Penis? It's like, all right, dog.
My hip hop name is Fidel Cashflow.
Oh, and, nice.
That gets a lot of mileage.
I'm gonna send that and see what he says about that one. Hopefully, he responds during the podcast.
That would count as a real rapper because Drew has released. Material.
I have released an album under that.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
I have to write parentheses Drew. All right. Guy I met on a podcast.
Real rapper.
Real. Yeah, it's real. And that's the tough thing. It's like, how deep do you dive? Mm-hmm. And what was that gal's name? Oh, I don't remember. It was like someone that had like 500 Twitter followers, you know, like it's in Georgia, you know, and we had like a female MC. Oh, it was Lord Narf. Lord Narf's been one of our absolute favorites, and she's real, and people just can't believe it. Real
incredible.
Rappers get mad. I remember Slim Kid Trey of the Far Side is one of our favorite guests, and he came on last time. He was like mad. He's like, yo. He's like, what are these rappers coming with these names? Such busterous names.
Did you say busterous?
Busterish? I mean,
oh, busterish. I thought busterish. It was like lustrous only.
Lustrous. Busterous. Such busterous names.
Yeah. Like an extravagantly busted name.
It's would extravagantly be busted.
Well, Andy, you want to play some music?
I do.
I think we got time for a couple more songs.
Good.
What do you got?
Sons of Huns.
Oh, yeah.
Previous friend of the show. Been on the show before. They just recently did a deal with Gigantic Brewing and released a beer. And also a 7-inch.
Very cool.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this. What was the name of their beer? Do you know?
Oh, man. I have to look it up. I had it all queued up. And then I got in here and forgot to have it queued up. So, yeah. But it's really a 7-inch you can get for $5. It's called Taste the Goat.
Does it come with a beer? Can you get like a, you know, 20-ounce bottle or something, a growler with a single?
No, it only comes in 22s. Okay. I think they have it on tap if you go to Gigantic itself. It's a double Doppelbock.
That's awesome.
But I'll research this, and we'll come back with it after we listen to the song.
What's the name of this song?
The song's called Powerless to the Succubus. We'll be right back. That was Sons of Huns with the.
Did you already forget?
It's called Kiss the Goat.
Kiss the Goat.
The seven inch you can get. Have you ever kissed a goat?
But that track was called The Succubus.
We've talked about goat ownership on this show before. Andy used to have goats.
Mm-hmm. No shit. Goats, I love their devil eyes. Not to sound like Brian Fellows from Safari Planet, but if anyone
they
knows
do.
A SNL reference, but
goats have like rectangular pupils.
They have rectangular pupils. I always go visit them out in Tillamook at the, what's that place called? The Blue Heron, I think is what it's called.
Yes, Blue Heron Cheese Factory.
And it's awesome. That's and I want to shout out Blue Heron Cheese Factory. I always enjoy your wine samples, your cheese samples, your dip samples.
Your bags of curds.
Your bags of curds and the little bag of oats to go throw at goats. I love goat meal.
Well, I think that seems like a great place to go.
I would end
Aaron,
on that note.
Thank you
You're
so
welcome.
Much for being on the show yes. This week and just kind of talking the whole thing with us. It was fantastic.
Yeah, real pleasure, guys.
Appreciate playing the game. Everyone can see your show every week at Dante's here in Portland.
Tuesday nights.
Tuesday nights, 10 to midnight. Mm-hmm. Go check Aaron out.
Yeah, you can
who's
go to
whostheross.com. You definitely should check him out on YouTube as well, just to get a little taste for what you're going to get.
Yeah, we put up videos every week
clips
from the
up
program.
There.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Can people follow you on Twitter, anywhere else?
Yeah, all of the things. Just type in Who's the Ross. I'm
who's
there.
Ross.
All
you
of
can
them.
Find him there. You can find this show on any of your major podcast downloadable sources, and we encourage you to do so. If you like what you heard from Hot Garbage this week, please tell your friends about us. And as always, we encourage you to write into the show with requests and topics that we can discuss. You can reach us at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com.
And if you're one of those people who got one of those CDs and you want to know who the fuck you're listening to, email us and I'll give you a track list.
HAUTE garbagepodcast@gmail.com. Aaron, you got one more track to play us out?
Yeah, I do. The last track I'd like to play, artist that played our show a couple times, Laura Palmer's Death Parade. One of the best names.
That's a fantastic name.
And man, she's coming up. She's awesome. This song's not released, but she played it on the show. She emailed it to me, and I don't think she'd get too mad that we play it here. So here's Laura Palmer's Death Parade with Iceberg.
For Aaron Ross, for Andy, for Nate, this is Drew. Thanks for listening to Hot Garbage. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys.